You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There we go.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Right now. At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice Walls, what you think I've seen? Some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Man, part of it gonna have out in the St. John's Walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And, folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, I guess I'm a little bit better than you are. Not much, but a little, brother. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a bitch, I'll tell you. Some of this medication that people get on today, just it tears you up. It really does.
I know.
But what do you think of that election?
Well, I'm still not over it.
Wow.
I was kind of thinking about moving out of the country. I'm not sure I can put up with another 4 years.
You know, I got to tell you something, Bill. I mixed reactions, and I'm looking, and I'm seeing, and this whole country has changed, my friend. It's gone to a whole new direction. It's kind of like a third world country, or excuse me, you know, things that from other countries where the minorities, the people who are down and out, are starting to run the countries. I don't know if that's good, and I don't know if it's bad, but I can tell you this, I'm kind of like you. We're going to go through another 4 years of this drudgery and drainage. And my gosh, the state of California, they passed that billions of dollars, $9 billion, I think it was, for taxes.
My right.
God. And I know it's going to the schools, but give me a break. Where does this lottery money that's been going on since 1979 or 1980, or maybe a little bit longer than that, and all that money's been supposed to go into the schools? And do you read about how many millions of dollars a week? 90 million, 100 million. Now, if that's not going to the schools, where is it going, Bill?
I don't know. But there's even a worse thing than that. If Congress don't get off their butts here before the end of the year, George Bush's tax cut bill will go away, and we'll all be paying another $2,000 or $3,000 a year in taxes.
That we don't have.
Yeah, right.
That we don't have, okay? And, you know,
there's no more middle America, middle class America. It's almost gone away, so.
Oh, you bet. I mean, it's, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know about you, but I just got my new rates for 2013 for my health insurance, and my God, it skyrocketed. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I guess it's going to be time that I'm going to have to book my own bet now for about 10 months of next year, because no way in the world any person that's sane anyway would spend that kind of money a month. It's outrageous. I just got to tell you, you know, they want $824 a month from me. And I'm thinking to myself, have I lost my marbles? You know, I don't know, Bill. I really don't. You know, I mean, they're saying they've had record crowds turn out to vote. And, you know, the last time in 2008, it was for that word change. Well, I don't know how much change we had, but I'm no better today than I was 4 years ago. What about you?
Well, actually, it's gotten quite a bit worse. And it's going to get worse.
And I'm sure it will. But you know what? The majority of the world, apparently, or the nation here, apparently knows better than you and I, so let's give it a shot and hold tight, hope for the best, and expect the worst, my brother. That's the only thing I can tell you, okay? I'll tell you that straight up. I gave a hell of an interview yesterday to ABC on that new footage that came down the pike. Did you see that, by the way?
No, I didn't. I have to see it yet.
Have you heard about it?
Yes.
Okay. What'd you hear?
Well, I heard there was new footage and that it's pretty good, but I don't know what it is or I haven't seen it.
You know what bothers me about that, Bill?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. I'm trying to pull it up here. It was sent to me by one of our humble listeners or associates down the pike, and hey, have you seen this? And did you hear about that? And what have you? And all this kind of stuff. And when you open the thing up, it just blows my mind, okay? It states to me the guy's name, okay? Now, right away, I start reading. And I read the guy's name. His name is Beard, B-A-R-D, Card, C-A-R-D. Now, what does that tell you?
Well, it's probably not his real name.
Oh, that's fake? Huh?
Yeah.
Now, I'm gonna tell you something. Back in our day, early back, do you remember when a gay guy was not outed and a woman dated or used a good-looking guy and he was gay? What'd they call him back then? Do you remember?
I can't remember what they called him. But
they called him a beard.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Okay. Well, this was, you know, in a different social world, okay? And I'm just wondering here if somebody had to, I don't know, it's intriguing, it's compelling, okay? I've seen it. But why can't you just come out and tell us your real name? What do you got to hide? Although, you know, on the other side of the coin, Bill, they're thinking, I don't want my friends and family to know who I am because they're going to think I'm nuts.
No, that's true. That happens a lot. We go across that all the time.
You and I both, we've been through it. But nevertheless, I wish him all the luck in the world. And if he's out there, he's got his ears on, he's listening to me, I'd love to hear from him. Maybe we can have him on the show.
Sure.
But the guy from ABC said to me, he's not taking any calls. And he's not giving out his contact information. So two red flags besides the name, three red flags go up in my mind. What about yours?
Yeah, as long as his name isn't one of the old ones we know, I won't mention it on the air, but his first name is Rick.
Really? Oh, boy. I feel those pills hitting. They're chiming in right now, brother. Well, listen, let's just hope to the world, and congratulations, Mr. Obama. Let's hope to God that you do what you say you're going to do and get this country whipped into shape and help us all, because we need it. We all need it. Let's see. You got an interesting show here lined up. Well, looks like we're going to go out to Washington. The state of Washington. Let's see. We're going to go out there and talk to Jeremy. Jeremy, you out there?
Yeah, this is him.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Well, you know what? You must be very happy tonight, Jeremy, because one of your states happened to pass the marijuana law.
Yeehaw.
Now, do you have some of the contributing ailments to qualify for marijuana?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, do you know what they are?
Well, of course not.
You don't? Well, so let me school you, since you happen to be one of the states that got passed on this thing and said, hey, it's a good thing for medical reasons. If you've got AIDS, you can smoke marijuana. If you're bulimic, you can smoke marijuana. If you've got arthritis, you can smoke marijuana and get the marijuana card from the state. And I'm sure there's a bunch of other things that go along with it. That's the three that stood out in my mind when I seen how it had passed and read about it. I've been more cognizant about the current events there, Jeremy, than I normally am. So congratulations, and if you're a doobie smoker and like to smoke that stuff, well, now you can do it and not worried about getting busted.
Yep. They say they won't be able to sell it, though, for a year or so now.
Oh, is that what they said?
Yeah, they said it's going to take about a year for it to get into businesses, and the federal government is probably still going to fight to prevent it, because it's still federally illegal.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Or still, San Diego, they have I don't know what you call it, a weed pharmacy or whatever you want to call it, because they are selling it here for medical purposes. And they're having all kinds of problems. I mean, both sides. One, trying to get permission to keep going. And the other thing is, you know, the right people. I mean, you got to have a prescription or whatever the heck it is that they got.
Yeah, a green card, they call it.
Yeah.
I have a friend up here who has one, but now I guess you don't need them.
Right. But anyway, so it's still being experimented with, I think.
Yeah. It's going to take about a year, they said, for the Liquor Control Board and everything to weed through the process and figure out how this is going to be done, because it's all new.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. But you know what? I'll tell you this. Good for them. I'm sure they've been fighting for that for a long, long, long time. But at the same point in time, you know, I've got arthritis. I'm thinking maybe I should go smoke that stuff. Maybe it'll help me. What do you think?
It's the miracle drug.
You know what? We've been all over the map here this evening, and we're not talking about Bigfoot. Well, we did. We talked about the beard card, didn't we? What do you think of that situation, Jeremy?
I think I go on the internet all the time, and you know, Yahoo pops has those little what's happening today type things on their little columns, and this is a couple of days ago, and I think it popped up where the guys. This is the one where the guys were in the woods, and they zoom in on this thing on a hill.
Yep.
And it stands up, and they just take off running. They didn't say a word, and they just took off, and the camera's shaking, and that was about it. Was that the same one?
Yep, that was it.
Yeah, I saw it. That was interesting. You know.
Intriguing.
And they had little freeze frame pictures of it, and zoomed in, and they. You know, checking it out and take it as you will, I guess, on that one.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, what's been going on up there by you?
Well,
first of all, what part of Washington are you?
I'm in the Pacific Northwest area, the Puget Sound area.
Oh, I love the Puget Sound. How's the fish up there?
Oh, man, I'm an avid fisherman.
Are you really?
Yeah, salmon and bottom fish, really.
How far are you from Mill Creek?
Mill Creek?
Yeah.
Not too far, really. There's a Mill Creek here in the Shelton area. Is that the one you're referring to?
I'm talking about the one out there by Seattle.
Oh, well, I'm away from that. I don't venture up that way. There's too much good fishing down here.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, let me know what's going on over there. Fill me in.
Well, I was up in the Olympic Peninsula area, kind of up from Lake Cushman. And it was the 6th of October, and we've been having this big dry streak. And we're kind of weary of even going into woods because it's been so dry. But eight of our friends, we do this thing once a year. This is my first year doing it. We call it the Man Hike, where just all the guys go up and drink and party and shoot guns, really. And we always get this campsite up there. It's called Melbourne Lake. It's about 7 miles from Lake Cushman. And it's a blocked area. You need a DNR key to get in, and you go way back in there. And it's about a couple more miles back in the gated area. And we always set up, there's an area to set up camp and everything there. And we're just there shooting guns all day, you know, and acting like crazy guys, I guess. And, you know, night comes around, we all get a little tatered. We all put, all our guns have been put away hours ago. And there's probably a group of eight people with us, eight or nine, I think. And we were... Everyone's falling asleep, you know, passing out, really. And I wander over to my tent. And before I go to bed, I put my phone in the truck and put it on the charger because it was going dead. I hit the tent. Another friend in the cot in the same tent with me, and he was already out. And then about, I'm guessing, see, I didn't have my phone on me. I'm guessing about 3 or 4 in the morning. I woke up because I was just dehydrated. On the other side of the lake, this is a big lake, and on the other side of the lake, I just kept hearing this hoot, more like a howl, and it went on for about 20 minutes, and it to a point where it's like, I mean, but it's put a chill down your back. It scared the crap out of me. I didn't want to go out and because I really wanted to get my phone, and it was in a truck about 50 yards away, and record this, because it was just unreal what I was hearing. It was just like a... And it went on for about half an hour. And finally, I just, you know, I'm sitting there just trying to imitate it, because I can tell the guys the next day, see if they heard it, because I'm not hearing anybody. It's just dead quiet. And then the next, I pass out. Finally, next morning, get up, and we all kind of dragging feet around the fire because we're all hungover. And I mentioned it over. First thing I say, I go, anyone else hear Bigfoot? You know, jokingly. And everyone was looking at me like, what? And then one of my friends gets out of his tent, and he's like, holy, I heard that too. It's like, it scared the crap out of me. He says he was over by his tent taking a leak, and the howl he heard was right behind him. And after he heard it, he heard something thumping through the woods, like running through the woods, like if these two creatures were maybe communicating across a lake. Because what I heard right before I went back to sleep was a howl on our side of the lake, and I was kind of like, oh, my God. But, yeah, he was telling me this, and everyone else looking at us like, ah, whatever. You heard an owl. Let's go. That was not an owl, man. And so I came home, you know, after this, and trying to convince my friend who was passed out right next to me, and I'm shaking him while this is going on, trying to get his ass to wake up, and he wouldn't even wake up. And so on the way back, he's just like, yeah, whatever. And I know such thing, Bigfoot. So, you know, of course, I go home and I get on the computer and I'm looking up noises of the Pacific Northwest, you know, trying to piece this together. It maybe was a different animal, but I went through all the owl noises and stuff, you know, just finding little bits and pieces on the internet of samples, and nothing came.
What about a coyote?
Nope. We have coyotes around here, and I've heard every yap, you know, yaps they do and howls they do. And
what about a wolf?
What was that?
What about a wolf?
There's no wolves up in that area.
No wolves.
From what I've heard.
Okay, so do you think that it was a creature?
Oh yeah, it's the only thing I could think of. I mean, man, the way it just, you know,
I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to share a story with you. You got a minute?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. A buddy of mine calls, a new friend, out of Arkansas. We have something going on down there. And he asked me what to do. So I told him, I said, look, he tried baiting it with the sardines and the peanut butter, and it worked. Like a power wash. Boom. Comes back the next day, wasn't anything there. I said, all right, do you have any primate pheromones? He didn't even know what the hell it was. The chips that you can buy. So I says, well, you know any women that's on their period? Says, well, somebody in my family real soon here, probably in the next, was, I guess he said that they were on their period. And I says, what you do is get one of those used things that women use and put it up about 8 feet. That's on a hanging limb. I says, do a 10-foot box where it's hanging underneath where the if there's any leaf litter or trees or twigs or anything, clear it out. Then dig it up. Make it soft. Like, you know, you're going up there rototilling it with a shovel.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then get some water and spray it all over there. Then do it again. And then rake it all out nice. I said, leave it out for the night and come back the next day. He calls me today, Jeremy. What do you think happened?
Left a nice print.
Left about 25 prints. Going in a circle, round and round,
looking up at this thing, smelling it. And it, I guess it was too high, but it finally got it. Well, that thing wasn't there anymore today, and he tracked the thing till he couldn't get any more prints. Never found it or the thing. Very interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Huh.
So, that may be a new thing. I'm sure we've used it 40 years ago. We didn't have pheromone chips then.
Yeah.
But just thought I'd share that with you and my listeners around the globe. Keep us in tune with anything going on, okay, Jeremy?
Yeah, you bet. No problem.
And next time we're up there, we'll come up and share a doobie with you.
Yeah, sounds good.
Be well.
All right, you too. Later.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Jeremy from the great state of Washington. They just got approved for medical marijuana. Let's go to a commercial, Billy Boy.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And back to you, Tom.
Well, thank you, Billy Boy. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we get calls every day from all walks of life and everybody. And I want to thank those people out there who share their experiences and share their lives with us. You become part of our lives, I got to tell you straight up. And as crazy as your story may seem, as I tell my boys in the teams, as we trek down that road, left foot in front of our right, you never know what you're going to get until you get down there and turn that leaf over and see what's on the other side. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get out there and talk to our good buddy Chris in Arkansas and see what activity is going on down there the past couple of months. Chris, you out there?
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I've been doing better, but the Bigfoot hunting thing as well.
Really? Well, you know that story? Did you just hear me tell about the tampon thing?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
That came from your state, son.
Yeah, I know. The sardine and the peanut butter thing, I actually did that myself. And we had the same thing. The tree got lit clean, and the game camera that I had facing the tree where the peanut butter and the sardines were, the game camera was facing it. I had 30-something pictures of nothing, not a raccoon or anything. I didn't know until after I'd already went back out there that at nighttime when I had borrowed the game camera from somebody and the game camera had a red light that flashed before it took the picture, and it, like, flashed, like, five times. So if anything was out there and seen the light, I'm sure it moved out of the way. But the funny thing was in the morning time when I went out there to retrieve the game camera, it wasn't facing the tree anymore that had the sardines and the peanut butter on it. The nail that I nailed it into the tree on was turned the opposite way, facing away from the tree.
Pretty incredible stuff, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I've seen some things out there ever since y'all sent the guys down there to spend Memorial Day weekend with me when Jim Dawson and his buddy came down there. I mean, what they taught me out about what to look for. I mean, I've never went out there not one time and not left amazed.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you something else. Not far from Fayetteville, I had my boys out there. One of them thought they shot the damn thing, but with the shadow going through, and a bullet went through a big tree. because they couldn't find no blood, and they was tracking all over the place. Pretty scared, I got to tell you, because this thing was pretty damn big. And I'll tell you this, Chris, the time I got there 2 days later, I get a call about 4 hours before we pull in. No more than, I don't know, 3 miles away from where they were. You know, the archery bow season opened up, you know. And this guy, he was crossing the road. And as he crosses the road about 50 yards in front of him, here goes one of the creatures crossing the road on the other side. And he was just dumbfounded. He just, he nearly shit his pants. Let's just, I'll be blatant about the whole thing. He ran back down to his rig, got in it. He says, I ain't going back there no more. And he got on the phone and called us right away. So, you know, you guys got a lot of movement going on in that state of Arkansas.
Me and my buddy, this is a new guy that I talked to about it, and he became really interested, and he wanted to go out there with me, and we got dropped off one morning that we knew the hunters and stuff were still going to be at work, and we've only found two deer stands out there. One is on the pipeline where I had the original encounter when we saw the eyes up in the out in the wood line, and when it took off running from us, where we found the good print that I sent y'all pictures of. Which, you know, like I said, I'll say it again for the listeners that listen now, they didn't hear before. It was 17 and a half inches from heel to toe, and it was as wide as both of my feet put in there. I mean, it was a nice print, and it wasn't in mud or anything. It was like an impact print and just in regular ground from where, like, the first step that it took running off from us. The print was actually still there in the ground when Jim Dawson got to me, that he could still see it, toes and everything. We went out, and we went up in the woods at, like, I want to say it was, like, 6 o'clock in the morning, like, right when the sun was coming up. I mean, but it was still real dark in the woods. The sun hadn't started coming up quite yet. We was probably 45 minutes before sunrise. And we go up in the woods, and we didn't get, I'd say, 100 yards into the woods. And it started sounding like there was two different footstep patterns, like one coming from, like, the right side of us and one coming from the left side of us. So we got still, and you could hear them almost make a complete half circle around each side of us, but it was probably 30 or 40 yards away, and we had red lights, like hunting lights. So we didn't have, like, bright flashlights going on in the woods, and I turned off the lights, and we just sat there a minute in the darkness. We just listened to the footsteps moving around, and he was like, dude, that's definitely not a deer. And I was like, yeah. I mean, and this is two boys that spent a lot of time out in the woods. And, I mean, you could tell that it wasn't nothing like a hog or anything like that moving around, because, I mean, it literally seemed curious of me. When sunrise started coming up, the footsteps got further and further away as the sun was coming up. So as we could see, we couldn't see anything. But the direction that the footsteps led off to, we continued going off in the woods. It was probably, I'd say, 7:30 or 8 in the morning at this time, and we heard what sounded like trees breaking, like branches falling. And we got real still, and we looked in the direction where it's coming from. I got my binoculars up, and I started looking in that direction to try to see if I could see anything from the brush. And then we heard that nice little, howl that everybody likes to keep talking about. Unfortunately, every time I've ever heard the actual up-close howl, I've never had anything out recording. But my YouTube, I don't know if you've had a chance to even see it yet, Tom, but I've got a video on YouTube. I want to say that I sent the video or the vocalization that I've got recorded, and how the guy said that whatever it was went on for like 20 or 30 minutes or so. This one, I don't know how long it had been going on before, but my video is like 5 minutes long, and the only reason that I didn't keep recording because it was still making the vocalization was because where I was parked at, because I was actually rolling down the road with the windows down where I'd been having these encounters, and we heard it, like with the window down. We didn't have the radio on, and we heard it, and I pulled over the side of the road, and I was like, what the hell is that? And when we noticed that it wasn't a dog barking or anything like that, you could actually hear the reverb in the woods. It sounded like something really big was making this noise. And the video's on YouTube. I think the link to my YouTube page is actually on y'all's site, I do believe. I know y'all got a new site put up, but I know the link was put up there. But, I mean, it's definitely an experience, especially when you take somebody out there that's never been out there and they whistle. And this was the funnest part about it was right after we heard that sound, we kept moving. The vocalization, we kept moving a little bit, and we stopped. And we were taking like a little break, drank some water, and I told the dude, I said, just whistle, man. I was like, we ain't tried that yet, whistle. And I can't whistle very well at all, hardly at all. And he whistled, and not even 4 seconds after he whistled, something whistled right back to him. And it wasn't a bird, and he looked at me, and he said, did you hear that? And I started kind of laughing because, I mean, I've been out there and I've done heard it whistle back before. I've heard something whistle back before several times. And so I told him, I told you, man. I said, whistle again. And he whistled again. And not only did we get one whistle back, we actually got two whistles back. One came from around in the same direction at the same volume, and another one came from another direction, and it was not the same volume. And we whistled until it whistled back and forth with him probably 6 or 7 times. And I don't know if the creatures got close enough to us to see us and knew what we were, and they just stopped or what, but it eventually stopped. And then the next thing that we tried was after we walked through the woods probably about another 300 yards, we tried the tree knock. And I let him do it again. I've heard the tree knocks back, so he hit the tree. And the first time he hit the tree kind of like aggressively. And he hit it multiple times, and I told him, I was like, just try it like once or twice. Just hit it once or twice. And he hit it one good time, and we got a two knock back. So it wasn't an echo or anything like that, but we definitely got whistle backs, tree knock back, and we found some nice foot impressions in the leaves, and we followed those for a while until it turned into the marsh that's down at the bottom of the pipeline. I mean, it's like swamp down there. I mean, it's a pretty big area of wetland, and when the prints literally went right into the water. I mean, right by the edge of the water. The phone that I got took really bad pictures. I would have sent y'all copies of the pictures. You can't really see the toe imprints. It's not as good as some of the pictures that I've taken. So, but I mean, we're definitely still having activity down where I'm at. I mean, it hasn't slowed down any, and I was worried about when hunting season came around that they would be moving off, going somewhere else or something like that, but they're still definitely around in that same area.
You know, you're definitely right, especially in the state of Arkansas. We're getting an awful lot of reports, and I got a team going out to that area that I was telling you about, and they give me a call and say, hey, come a running. Maybe I'll give you a jingle, and you can come out, and we'll meet each other.
Yeah, Fayetteville's not that far from me. It's only probably like 3 hours.
There you go. All right. Well, listen, Chris, it's good talking to you again. Keep your ears on, and anything you uncover, give us a jingle, will you?
I appreciate it, Tom.
Be well, good buddy. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Chris. Good old boy. He's got action going on there and still going on, and I'm really proud of him. A lot of these people, you know, I got to tell you, they keep on keeping on. They're like me. Well, we're going to go out to New Mexico, Four Corners. I like my own kid, Dave Ortiz. Dave, you out there?
Yeah, Tom, how you doing?
Well, I'm going to make it. Not doing too bad for an old man.
Great.
I'm still on this side of the ground, so I guess I'm okay.
Hey, that sounds great. That sounds good.
Yeah. That's a big plus, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I'm starting to feel it. I'm not getting any younger either, so.
Yeah, well, you know, it's when you hit the pace the way we do, and you know what the pace is like, because you've been out with us, it just never stops, you know. It just continual. And then you get a bump in the road and you got to, or an obstacle, and you got to go around it, under it, through it. But we still get there one way or another, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We get the job done. But it starts to take a toll on the old bones now and then, if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely feeling that, too. Starting to.
What's going on by you?
Well, I actually found a new contact in the area here that lives by the river. And they've been telling me about, you know, the pretty much the stuff we've heard about, but in a little more detail that I like to hear. Because we, you know, with detail, then we get to... go to these spots eventually and then get their reports, what they tell us. This certain person I've been talking to has told me that they've been hearing some fake owl sounds, which we've heard before. We've heard, not we, but she has, it's a woman. She's told me that they've also been finding tracks, and I believe this is just down from the Farmington area. You know, it's she hasn't given me an exact, you know, I'm just starting to talk with her and everything. But she's given me pretty good hints that they're getting some pretty active regular activity down where she lives. And I heard a story probably about a year ago, year and a half ago maybe, about some Navajo man that had drowned, and supposedly a Bigfoot had thrown him in the river. That was the story I got. Well, from this individual that I was talking to, she told me that her cousin was somehow involved in this too. That it did happen, but it wasn't that he got thrown out. It was as if they were being chased, and when one of the people that was in the water tried to get out, this Bigfoot wouldn't let him out, and he eventually drowned. I remember it was during a cold time, because I did hear about that in a police report within the area, and he had hypothermia, and that was their version, that he just got too cold and drowned. Well, that's what happened, but it was supposedly because the other eyewitness who was with this certain man had seen what was going on, and the Bigfoot wouldn't let him get back in shore. And then this woman seems to have some closer contact and story, so I'm going to start following up with this woman and see what she can divulge with me.
Wow. What's happening with Brenda?
I talked to her here probably about a week ago. They're hearing a lot of noises. They're hearing, you know, the occasional vocalizations. What they're hearing a lot is the dogs. You know, there's neighbor dogs that roam around, sometimes in a small pack for a while during the night. And they hear these dogs barking at something very intensively, which is usually by now at least about 80 to 90% there might be a creature out there that's moving across fields and stuff. That isn't 100% proof, you know, for us, of course, because it could be even just another stray animal or a deer, which there is a deer down there too, and maybe they're chasing it or just, you know, barking it out of the area. But the area has been so, you know, fairly consistent with Bigfoot, so a lot of times we just go ahead and assume that there might be a Bigfoot roaming around. But, yeah, I haven't heard too much. I think she told me it slowed down a little bit, and what I have noticed in the area is the animals are coming down from the mountains pretty profusely now. I was in the Durango area off and on last week, and during the evening, as I'm driving down on the highway, there's a lot of deer, a few elk coming down this way, but mostly deer. And that's usually a sign that the animals are migrating back down to the lower altitudes. So supposedly our Bigfoot activity may actually start coming back up, because these creatures seem to follow these animals too.
You know, you're right. You're exactly right. There's more activity going on this year than it has been in the past years. And, you know, I'll tell you what. You know, I said about it last year about how crazy the weather has been.
Yeah.
And, my gosh, look at it now.
Oh, yeah, it's beyond.
It was 96 degrees in parts of Alabama today.
Wow.
And I bet if Bruce Schultz is listening, he'd probably tell us that it was, you know, 18 or low teens up there in Montana.
Yeah. Yeah, so, the weather's crazy. I mean, here we should...
And it's what? It's the 7th of November. Is this called the fall of the year?
Right. We should have upper 40s, low 50s here, and I think today we were at 68 degrees for about another 2 days. Now there is a storm from the Arctic coming in that'll put snow in the mountains and cool it down here, but, yeah, it's beautiful weather here. Really enjoying
it. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
How's Father Ray doing?
Excuse me. Seems to be doing good. I hadn't talked to him for about maybe two weeks. Last time I talked to him, though, he's doing great. He's living in Gallup now, and then he comes up to his parish, and we usually talk. We hang out for a while. Yeah.
He's a great guy. He really is.
You know, absolutely.
I got a lot of respect for that guy.
Yeah.
And he's one of the most tenacious priests you'll ever meet in your life.
Yeah.
And if you're ever out there in Gallup, ladies and gentlemen, go see him. He'll come out and have a cup of coffee with you, have a hamburger or whatever, and he'll sit there and enjoy you around. And he's just one hell of a guy. What do you see that for the holidays up here? What do you think is going to happen with the creature down there? Tell me.
I think he's going to look for some turkey in some people's homes, possibly.
You think so? How's the chief doing, by the way?
Chief is doing great. I just saw actually a post on Facebook. He puts a lot of the classic pictures in there lately. Showing the old tradition, old Navajo. And actually, I actually need to get a hold of him pretty shortly. He tells me he can get me up on the mountains nearby his home at this time because there's no snow. So I'm going to see if maybe like Friday, if we can get up there. I'd like to take some pictures and just have a look around. Haven't been up there for a while, so I'm pretty excited to go see what we can find again.
That's great. When you do see him, tell him I send him my regards. Would you do that for me?
I sure will.
And by the way, what's happening to our other fine friend?
He's okay. He's checking out some investigations too. There's a few that have been going on. He's been kind of doing those a little on the separate side. That's the ones where we're getting like a paranormal activity. They've told us that they have seen Bigfoots, but they've also seen these other creatures, sometimes winged creatures, sometimes just blobs out there. And
did he get his TV show or not?
No, hadn't got it yet. Mm-hmm. Still working on it, but that's
sure
about as far as it's going right now.
Yeah. Well, David, it's always a joy, and thanks for filling us in what's going on over there.
Yeah.
And keep your ears and eyes close to the road there, would you, buddy?
Oh, yeah, always.
Say hello to Mama and Papa for me.
Sure will, Tom. It's great talking with you.
Same here, good buddy. We got another guest coming in from New York. You might want to listen to this guy. He's pretty good. Our good buddy, Richard. You take care, and we'll talk to you real soon, okay?
Absolutely, Tom. Take care, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's my boy out there in the Four Corners, Farmington. David Ortiz, been with me for many years, like my own family. Let's go to commercial there, Billy Boy.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Holmargen, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Like, landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And Tom, it's back to you.
Thank you, my fine friend. Ladies and gentlemen, Bigfoot Lives. It's the movie that started it all for us. Won two awards, Best Documentary and Best Director. We never stopped there. We just kept on to keeping on. Bigfoot Lives 2, Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, was both entered, and they both won for Best Documentary. So we're 3 for 3, and it's pretty damn good, if you ask me. The new movie that we got, it's off the chain. The only place you can get it is on our website, searchingforbigfoot.com. Go to Shopping for Bigfoot when you hit on the table of contents. The movie is out. It's called Hoax of the Century. It's a lollapalooza, I'll tell you that right now. All the questions you wanted to be answered on about the Patterson film, it's right there. And you know, you'll all be able to put it to rest. And if you don't like that kind of stuff, go down to see Bigfoot Lives, Bigfoot Lives 2, Bigfoot Lives 3, Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, and The Shadow of Bigfoot. We got a giant blockbuster coming out. Without any further ado, let's get out there to New York and talk to our fine friend Richard. Richard, you out there?
Yeah, I'm right here, Tom.
Well, listen, good buddy, you didn't get affected by that storm, did you?
No, we're too far in. We just got some wind, some trees down, that's it.
But otherwise, you're okay?
Oh, fine, yeah.
Praise the Lord. That's a beautiful...
Thank you.
That's a beautiful... Well, what's going on over there?
Yeah, as you know, I sent you the video with the creature disappearing into the tree line, and I'm frustrated because I send this stuff on email and Marco says it don't come out right. I bet you what I have is as compelling as the video you were I showed it to a guy named Bruce Hallenbach. He wrote a couple of books, and he said there's something there. All right,
you know, when I met that guy, I met him in 1981.
Yeah, he wrote Monsters of the Northwoods.
You bet he knows who I am.
Yeah, I don't talk to anybody about anybody, or you know what I mean?
No. Next time you talk to Bruce,
he's on my friends on my Facebook.
Okay, you tell him Tom Biscardi said hello.
I will, Tom.
I was on his land in 1981. That was how many years ago? 31 years?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah. And his mom, or his grandmother, I guess, was his grandmother.
Yeah, she was terrified. I bought the book a long time ago.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, they're in my movie.
Are they?
Oh, yeah, in The Shadow of Bigfoot.
And I gave them, I showed them my camera, I took my camera and I showed them the video of the creature going from right to left and disappearing into the tree line. And what I've done is I've taken that video on my computer and I take my digital camera and I stop the video and I take my digital camera and I take pictures from it and I enlarge it.
Mm-hmm.
I have the most absolute perfect picture taken from that video of a 4-foot brownish red creature, total face from probably the top of the shoulders up, peeking out behind a trail marker. It is absolutely perfect, not covered by leaves, brush, or anything, and I can tell you exactly what they look like, at least the young ones.
Are you telling me you could see the eyes, nose?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I sent it to Marco, but it comes out too pixelated. It enlarges it.
Wait a minute. Mark, are you there?
Yeah.
What, What's going on with his pictures, brother?
I don't know. When I get the pictures, they're like pixelated, real grainy. And so when you're looking at him, I think Richard is on your computer or in your camera, right?
Yes, absolutely. And it's perfect.
No, I understand that. But I think what happens is either in the conversion process, when you convert the picture to something, a JPEG or something that you can send, either the conversion process screws it up or something, but it's really grainy. Almost every picture that I've gotten in the last week here that you sent me before, they're all real grainy and real difficult to see.
Okay,
so what we need to do is I'm going to get a hold of you later on.
Uh-huh.
And when we have a time, and I'm going to sit down, I'm going to go through, and I'm going to explain to you how to convert the picture using the whatever.
I got a better idea. Wait a minute, here, Richard, you listening?
I'm right here.
Here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick up a phone book tomorrow and go through and look for a video production house. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to go there and have them transfer what you got on your camera onto a disc and stay there and watch them transfer it and tell them that you want it that you could actually see where you don't want to lose much pixelization. And then when the disc comes through, when they show you that, how they're transferring it, okay, and send that to Marco, Bill, and I will pay for it. How's that?
I've already done that, Tom.
Richard, here's what I got to do. I got to talk to you, and I have to talk to you about converting video and pictures. And don't worry, it's okay. I'll get together with you and talk to you. You can do what Tom told you to do besides that. But I need to make sure that you, the conversion that's used doesn't diminish the quality of the picture.
Okay.
And I'll show you how to do that. There's different formats, many different formats you can put it in. And I'll help you with that, okay?
Yeah. Well, Tom, let me just say, this video, the whole video is about 4 minutes, but there's only about 40 seconds of real good video in it. It's like the Rosetta Stone of Bigfoot. If I sent you this and you had your guys do it, this creature, they have very large eyes, okay, Tom?
Mm-hmm.
They don't look like people think they look. They're not. This one I have is a young one. It looks kind of like Curious. You know what Curious George looks like?
Sure.
It's got huge eyes. They all got huge eyes. They have flat noses, and they have a very large lip. I thought it had a muzzle, but its lip is very long underneath the nose. You know, it comes down, and they don't have much of a chin. I mean, it's absolutely perfect. The detail is unbelievable, Tom.
Okay, well, listen. Do what he said, and let's see what happens. And I want to thank you very much, and I'm glad to see that you got unscathed with that storm, okay?
And Tom, when you get this video, I think you'll be amazed, and you have absolutely permission to use it. You can break it up any way you want. Take what you want from it. But if you have your guys go and take stills from it, it's better to use a camera because you can blow them up. You can enlarge them. You can't believe how many creatures are. I caught them. I must have caught them on a food run to the dump. And I never saw them. Never heard them. Never smelled them. And I was looking. That's what upsets me because I was totally oblivious to it.
Okay. All right, listen, we're running out of time. God bless you. Have a wonderful time.
Yes.
All right.
Please have Marco contact me, okay?
You got it. He will. He'll take care of it. And thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I want to just say, hope you're getting well, Miss Calabash, and good night. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legends, tales, and facts. Put them all together, reason for the facts.